here we got a harsh split with Z because of dubbing and marketing. Man, I have a lot of, I've been getting a lot of feelings about the marketing having control over certain aspects of art. And it's because that Batman podcast I got addicted to last week, I got to their episode on Batman Returns, right?
Wow.
And Batman Returns, of course, the 1992 Catwoman Penguin movie, was the one where the executives and the marketers were not allowed to say no to anything Tim Burton wanted. And general audiences, and especially McDonald's, had problems with that because the end result was too weird and Batman kept setting people on fire and Catwoman is threatening to rip people's dicks off with her whip. And the movie's really good.
Yeah. I gotta watch Returns again. It's been a while. I've seen the original Burton Batman a ton, but I haven't seen Returns that much.
The podcast I was listening to makes some points, which is that the 89 Batman, which certainly has its good parts, absolutely.
Yeah,
but it is a film made out of marketing first.
Yeah, like before got the back being, credit card.
Before being a movie. No, that's later.
Oh. So is that forever?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's actually And Robin. And Robin is the back credit card because that's the scene where he's trying to buy Poison Ivy. Good scene. Love that. But 89, like when the movie starts, it starts on the logo, which was the thing that they, like before the movie came out, all the poster was just the Batman logo.
Yeah.
It's on cuffs and t-shirts and video games. Yeah. It's a great poster.
Yeah.
But like the movie is in service of the poster and not like the other way around. Like the movie is filled with the Prince songs that he made for movie.
Good songs.
Yeah, good songs.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna say Prince made bad music. What am I stupid? No. But like, and I'm not gonna say that Jack Nicholson gave a bad performance. He chews all the scenery, but of course we love it.
Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
But the movie is like downright schizophrenic. It has no idea what it wants to be. It's all over the place, and it's because it is a marketing tool first. He was talking about it on the show that there was a thing where they weren't allowed to show the Batmobile getting damaged because they wanted to sell toys of it.
Yeah.
And you can't.
Well, you could sell a damaged version. It's another toy.
That's why marketers are so stupid. I could make so much money off of a damaged Batmobile toy.
Yeah.
And it's like a little on fire. Oh, man, that'd be great. It like comes apart and you could like put it back together or something. You can make
the little action figure Batman scoot on his butt in the seat.
Or there's like a little tiny ejector seat. Like you press a button on the damaged Batmobile and Batman flies out. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
No, please.
Oh, I was going to say there's the other side of that, which is marketing in kids' movies, where you must have a marketable sidekick character.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody hates them.
The movie doesn't even get made if you don't have one of those.
Exactly. Mm. Or if it does get made, it fucking flops because they don't market it because they don't have a cute character to market it with. Like, we saw The Last Dinosaur from Pixar.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Don't watch it. Not even for educational purposes. It made me want to throw up just because it was so...
What kind of education did you get there from that?
To know what Pixar is doing.
Oh, okay.
Just know about
it. I thought they
it.
Had some sort of creationist...
No, just know about
that
it.
That would be interesting. Yeah. Humans and dinosaurs existed at the same time. Watch this film. This documentary, The Good Dinosaur.
It's about the Bible.
Welcome to Please Don't Listen to This, Your Life Depends on It, the show where we do something different every single week. And this week, as a listener suggested to us, friend of the show, Trey, we are watching the anime film Black Fox. Now, with me here today, I have some of the most highly advanced ninja animal companions you could possibly ask for. I have Mouse, who looks like a chipmunk, who can project holographic images. That's
Actually seems to be a flying squirrel.
Yeah. They say Nezumi, right? Like they say mouse, but it definitely does look like a flying squirrel.
Yeah, like it literally does the gliding thing. So I wonder if
that's a translation thing.
Maybe. Mm. I don't know. Where do flying squirrels live?
Anywhere, I think they can fly.
Anywhere they can. Yeah. All right.
I have Master of the Skies Robot Eagle, Alex.
Okay. I'm large enough to carry an adolescent girl around.
See, in some shots. In other shots, you're small enough to fit through an opening in a window. And I am your host, robotic talking dog that sounds like a butler, Nick.
Yeah, that is... I gotta look up who that voice actor is. It is the most butler voice. Yeah, you're
totally
on it. I've been
reading too much fucking Batman shit, man. Like, I'm just like, very good, sir.
Master Bruce,
will you be requiring the use of the Batmobile tonight?
I mean,
I've
Bark.
Made your favorite. I mean, Bark. I mean, Rika.
I mean, Lily.
But this, it's
not
a little
confusing
bit of a,
at all to have two names. But
And then by the end, three names.
By the end, three names. Yes. Well, I mean, I could barely keep straight all her fucking girlfriends in this movie. She has a nice little domestic housewife. And then she's also
dating a trad wife.
And then she's also dating Mewtwo. Any of you guys know what's going on there?
Wow, it is Mewtwo.
That's what I kept saying the entire time.
Actually, so I wasn't there for this showing, but on Bink's server they do a movie night once a month.
Uh-huh.
And they did Black Fox in January.
Uh-huh.
And I skipped that one.
Uh-huh.
Because
you wanted to save it for us.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure
show
that
purity.
I
that's why I didn't watch Star Wars before 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you knew Trey was going to suggest it months ago.
I knew it. So I scrolled back through what everybody said, and they kept calling her dad Giovanni.
Yeah. The other guy at the end is the Giovanni stand-in more, I guess.
Yeah, he looks more like Giovanni, but he also didn't subject his child to...
Yes, but we're giving away a little bit of our opinion about the movie, but we are also going to do that by introducing the topic of this first segment, which is seasonal slop, as I kind of want to say. And there is a certain look, a certain feel, a certain texture to anime that you kind of get when you start watching it, and you're like, oh, I know those Windows XP backgrounds, I know those. These empty halls, the kind of feeling, the thing that always characterizes it to me, this feeling that anime gives you.
I think we might be on the same page, but go ahead.
The idea that there is no other person in the world other than whoever is on screen right now.
In this particular anime, there are other people in the world. However, most of them are bad CG dolls.
Yeah, they're all CG puppets. Yeah. That this CG crowd stuff is we have no money.
Especially when the 2D characters are in the same shot.
Yeah. It's a move. It's definitely something that's not.
I mean, like
there are 3D studios making good looking 3D anime, but usually it is like we have no money. This episode needs to come out yesterday.
And I'm not saying you need to design 100 character models for your anime.
Yeah,
show,
usually
you know?
They just do. If they don't do CG, usually it's just like white outlines of people or some shit, which is usually fine.
You could have done some kind of cop-out like that. This came out in 2019 where we had programs like Puppeteer, right? So you could have a 2D model and move it through the scene so that it didn't look so jarring.
But even if you're not doing the CG crowd stuff, right? Mm. Sometimes you'll watch...
The vehicles are pretty bad too.
What's that?
The vehicles.
Oh, yeah. But even if you're not doing the CG crowd, CG vehicle stuff, that stuff isn't necessarily the mark of Kane on this you know it's
that's a budget
it can happen and good shows can have that stuff too but what really puts like the stink on it is just this empty world feeling of just like a total hollowness.
There's no shops, there's no buildings with a purpose, there's no buildings with like except the giant needle building even her like homestead.
That's just what Japan's like, Seb. You've never been.
No, this is Brad City, named after Brad.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was named after Brad till the end. I was
stupid.
All right. No more
of this.
Yeah, we'll get to it. we're chomping at the bit to talk about the movie, but the seasonal thing is weird. I think like my big thing with it is it's like obviously it's unsustainable because many animators die every fucking season. It's bleak.
Worked to death in 200 degree offices.
Burned to death.
It's bleak and it's bad, but also it is stupid that 25 new anime come out four times a year.
Because who, even neets don't have the kind of time to watch that. They need to spend 75% of the day jerking off.
Yeah.
So they can't, they don't have time.
That's true. For,
to watch every seasonal anime. Nobody does, unless it was your job. And even if it was your job, can
you
imagine?
Probably jerk off during 50% of them.
Though, okay.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to save time.
Yeah, that's what they're for. That's what some of these anime are for.
Is that like how CEOs take 8-minute micro sleeps? That you're like fitting it in between.
It's Da Vinci sleep. It's like Kramer does that in one episode. But yeah, no, it's just ridiculous. Like it was one of those things that I figured would slow down or like stop eventually.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But it is truly bad. I don't know any other medium that produces like over 100 new things, like new shows every year. Like no one streamer does that. No, like no, there are not 100 new TV shows on that are worth watching.
That would be insane.
And most of these aren't worth watching, but it is like just the pure volume of it. It's like if I don't even know how to
there's
compare
no comparison.
It to. No,
it's not
insane.
Like
there's,
anything else.
There's some seasons you don't even get anything good. Like you'll have like a continuing series that everybody's watching, like One Piece or something like that, but you won't get like a new IP that's good every season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. And it definitely is the there's a lot of carryover stuff. There's a lot of stuff like a lot of popular shows now, instead of doing the long-running thing, will be like every other season or one season a year, or like two core. So like you get two halves of a season a year.
Yeah, and that like you can sort of make sense in the interest of preserving any kind of anything, any kind of momentum, any kind of like.
Yeah, the modern format for shonen I think is good, and it is better than. When we, in the 2000s, especially when we used to get long runners that would just have so much filler because they either need to wait on the source material or they like need to do recap episodes every 20 episodes.
And not even just filler in the sense of filler episodes or filler arcs as we used to know them, but filler that occurs within the episode where it's like that drawing of Frieza has got to stay on screen for a while because it took us a long time to do and we don't have time to make a whole nother episode if you want to move him around a little bit too much.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just the average, like if you scroll through MAL charts or any of those like seasonal charts, it is in a given year, there are probably 10 or 15 shows that you will have even heard of if you go back on.
Right.
If you go back to like a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago.
And sure, some of them were from a popular light novel or whatever, but a lot of the time you're getting stuff that is just so transparently a soup. Like people joke that like Taco Bell uses the same four ingredients and everything. They just put them in new shapes. It is like that. It is like, okay,
that's a good
here is your protagonist and he has... The you know he's at school and he's got like the girl who's mean to him and he's got the girl who's nice to him and like that's and then he's also got like the best friend who's kind of a pervert and like that stuff like you know those are flavors that we know already they're pieces that were lying around and we put them together and okay what's the one thing for this one what is the selling point it's like well he's got a cursed sword in his bedroom and it's like does that mean he's going to fight someone maybe I don't know it doesn't necessarily mean that
it could be like it'll be like episode 9
yeah
to fight somebody,
yeah exactly
because that's expensive
it is expensive so mostly he's going to hang around the school and he's going to try and tell the girls about his cursed sword but they keep thinking that he's talking about his penis
so
all right, real quick. Nick, the Taco Bell touch point is good, I think. If you take any given seasonal anime, it is the beefy five layer. It is a congealed mess of five different kinds of goo.
it's all the slop together.
And sometimes five different types of goo in a burrito is what you want.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But a lot of the time, that's not really what you're looking for. Or it's not going to satisfy you like real food might, perhaps.
Heavily, like, tropey, like kind of like cliche bullshit can be effective if the parts are arranged into the right order. People are really into Bravern right now. I don't know if you've seen anything about this.
I've never heard of that.
Well, maybe it's only the freaks that I yep. see online. People are really into Bravern because it is a kind of bog standard super robot mecha show where the guy talks to his robot, but the guy and his robot are like really homoerotic with each other. Okay. In a way that is like clearly played for laughs, but everyone loves. Everyone has yeah. fallen in love with. And you could say like, oh, this is a very cynical way of looking at it, or this is very homophobic or whatever. But whatever the intent was, filtered through the lens of a bunch of Americans watching it, they're like, this shit is great.
I'm picturing Optimus Prime being like, get inside me, Sam.
It is like that. It is very much like that.
So I have the 2024 spring season up.
I knew you'd have this.
Mm-hmm. And tell me how many of these you've actually heard of and how many sound like dog shit.
Yeah.
So we have Studio Apartment, Good Lighting, Angel Included.
Oh, boy.
Which is probably definitely
That's just DN Angel. They already did that. That's not even like a new spin on an old idea. That's just the same old idea.
I thought
idea.
That you were just reading a URL.
Or no, wait. It's not DN Angel. It's Oh My Goddess. That's what I'm thinking
yeah.
of.
Yeah.
DN Angel
which
is really
done,
weird.
Which has been done. It is
yeah.
a classic, so yeah. leave it alone. Train to the End of the World.
Well, gotta have another one
which
of those.
Which looks kind of like a...
isekai situation?
No,
it's
I don't
not,
know.
Is it more
it's
like a Promised Neverland thing where it's like a death game apocalypse?
Yeah, there's two... Like young, like middle schoolers or elementary schoolers. If
that's a good reason to not have a whole lot of people around.
Yeah. If you have Mal handy, just give us like the top two genres real quick for these
I'm
ones.
On
when
ANN
you're
right
real.
Now.
Okay, all right.
So God's Games We Play, Monster. I Was Reincarnated as the Seventh Prince. What's with all these fucking reincarnations?
That's light novel shit.
It's just light novel shit. Spice and Wolf. I know Spice and Wolf.
They have
that's
season,
been around
yeah.
for a long time. So yeah.
A light novel about economies. Back from when light novels were okay.
I tried to watch it when it first came out, and I was like, why do they keep talking about money?
Yep.
And I was like, this is boring.
It's about medieval economy.
The banished former hero lives as he pleases.
Wow.
Bartender, Glass of God.
Oh, The Bartender is a 2000s classic. So I have heard of that, and I am interested in the new season or whatever, yeah. or the remake.
Laid Back Camp, season 3.
Whoa, fuck, I gotta watch that.
Yeah.
Shit.
So, yeah, we know that one. Okay. But that's not a new IP.
I didn't realize that came out, yeah. or it started to come out.
An Archdemon's Dilemma, How to Love Your Elf Bride. So we've still
you
got,
know
like,
there's titty in
how
that.
How did that make it to market? Come
Dude,
on.
That's just the new genre of harem. Like, instead of harem, you have, like, a fantasy girl.
Yeah, it's fantasy anime titty.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And she's, like, mostly the same, except she's got pointy ears.
Yeah.
Oh, no. How will I ever love her? How will I ever get past this clear physical deformity?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You can't even see him past her.
This is not as risky as Katawa Shoujo was, like, 10 years ago.
Right.
Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
There's a condition called love. Windbreaker.
Oh, all right. What is that? Give me the synopsis on that one. Is he farting or what?
Haruka Sakura wants nothing to do with weaklings. He's only interested in the strongest of the strong. Okay, so...
Is it a game?
Is he being fucking One Punch Man?
Or is it a sport?
He just started at Furin High School.
It sounds like
a
sport.
School of degenerates known only for their brawling strength.
Oh, okay. It's a fighting, fighting game. I got it.
What's the... It sounds very much like the opening to Cromartie High School, but there's no way it is that clever.
Good show.
There's A Salad Bowl of Eccentrics, Astronote, High Speed Etoile, That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime Season 3. How is that still running?
Oh, yeah. That's big.
The Regular at Magic High School Season 3.
What? They're still making that? Holy shit.
I don't even know what that is. Tanbou, which appears to be a golf anime. Jellyfish Can't Swim in the Night.
I'm glad we're still getting some sports
true?
Stuff, actually.
There's The Fable. Tonari no Yokai-san.
Oh, I'm looking at that right now.
There's a cat there. He's got two tails. He looks very cute. Go Go Loser Ranger. Mission Yozakura Family. Vampire Dormitory, which is absolutely a sexy-looking shoujo.
Oh, yeah, they horny in that one?
Looks like it. Grandpa and Grandma Turn Young Again. Okay. As a reincarnated aristocrat, I'll use my appraisal skill. That's three shows this season with reincarnated in the title.
That's right.
The Duke of Death and His Maid, season 3. Sound Euphonium Season 3.
Wait, what? Fuck! Steph, you can't do this to me. I'm out of anime. I don't want to watch any.
Did you already say Rinkai?
Huge bombs on me.
Huh?
Rinkai? Rinkai is like a bicycling anime. I'm looking at this list right now.
I'm honestly down for sports. I'm glad sports anime is still hanging on because usually they're pretty solid.
There's four reincarnations.
Golf, baseball, F1, and bicycling or whatever.
I cannot believe Hibike Euphonium got a third season. That's all I'm going to be thinking about now. All
right.
I got to watch that
almost
now.
Almost done here. I have a few more. Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation 2 Part 2.
Wow. Is that five or four?
That's four.
That's four of them. Chilling in Another World with Level 2 Super Cheap Powers.
Wow.
Stupid. That's basically the same. I'm counting that as reincarnated.
you definitely died in episode one. So.
Which I don't know what that means. There's a guy with a little baby there. Unnamed Memory. Oblivion Battery. That's a baseball
anime. They're not even naming the shows, though.
I guess not. The Many Sides of Voice Actor Radio. Mysterious Disappearances, Konosuba.
The new season.
And Viral Hit. So, like.
This is good, though, Seb. So, basically, the only anime that I've heard of in that entire list, or like.
Camp Konosuba.
It's all sequels, because that's the way that it works now. Mm-hmm. But you'll probably hear maybe one of those get reappraised, or like. In a year will be like, it was the sleeper hit of the year. Mm-hmm. But only the most dedicated psychopaths actually watch any of this stuff to figure it out.
What I notice is that if something makes its way to me, somebody's like, this is really good, you should watch it. Almost invariably, I look it up and it was a manga first. You know? It was a manga from that had an idea, like a real idea.
When we get into this, I have thoughts about originality with regards to anime film specifically, mm-hmm. which I want to get into in the main segment.
Yeah.
But I definitely agree with you. It's an interesting conundrum because
there should be more anime original good shit.
Yes.
I mean, like,
but the only reason they make shows like this is to sell something.
Right.
So you can't, like, unless you're like an established studio that can sell something based off of their name, you don't make an original show because it doesn't make anyone any money. until it gets really popular.
If I can be cynical,
they're still making Black Butler.
From a point of from a lack of knowledge, from a point of ignorance.
Put Code Geass away.
They're not still making Code Geass.
Of course, it makes so much fucking merch money. Are you kidding me?
Okay, sorry.
If I can be cynical from a point of ignorance,
please be
a show on the list that a different list from the one Seb was looking at. I used the My Anime List one.
Yeah, there's a few others.
There's a show called A Date Alive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that is made by a studio named Geek Toys.
Mm.
Now,
I think that's a hentai game adaptation, maybe.
Okay. Now, I don't have anything in particular wrong with hentai games or hentai game adaptations.
That's definitely an adaptation of something. I've heard that name before.
But the impression I got from looking at that list was mostly that I was not going to see anything. I was not even going to get like an option of chicken or beef looking through that slop. I was getting all the same kind of flavors. Like even the color palettes of all the like posters are the same.
Oh yeah, and a lot of them have the same look to them. Like
yeah.
That's how I felt watching Black Fox was. Yep. It's just, it doesn't have an art style.
And the look
that
changes a little
me.
Bit every 8 years-ish.
But yeah, we go through phases. Like,
we go through phases for sure.
It's the same thing like 80s anime, 90s
anime.
Yeah.
I have a lot of nostalgia for the way that 80s anime looked because it took a long time for it to get to us. So by the time it was...
Time, 90s, early 2000s it got to us. But then the early 2000s style is one that hits me because that's when I got into anime.
It's a medium that is...
derivative?
It's an Ouroboros, and it continues to eat itself, but mm-hmm. sometimes you get something good in it.
You get something unique, and they put out Lucky Star, and then everybody's a moe blob.
It's fascinating, and it's one of the purest cases, I think, of A medium that basically doesn't draw any influence from anywhere else besides itself.
Yeah, that is totally right. You know, I've made this complaint.
It's like that's the big thing that whenever they get Miyazaki to say something, he'll be like, you know, whenever you get him to say anime was a mistake,
yeah,
that is what he actually means.
And that's a really good point to make.
I disagree with that. They definitely pull from Western animation all the time.
That's not what we're talking about. Like,
Are you talking about like story wise?
Yes.
Specifically in Echo Chamber that continues to reverberate for decades.
Think about the ideas for anime, like a base premise, right? Where that comes from. It's all remixes of other things for anime with like very little extra flavor added on top. I've made the same complaint when it comes to comic books, but they have a different version of the same problem.
There's a kind of a default that they snap a lot of things to grid because it is something that I think fans are A, comfortable with, and B, have continued to tolerate for decades now.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of expect this is the way that anime is, and this is all it can be.
Yes. And the otaku is a good market. They are the kind of person you would want to court because they are uncritical about purchasing.
All they need is Twin Tails and they will buy every figure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's, don't you love to be able to argue about who is the best girl about something?
Wow. Yeah, character culture in Japan is insane.
Yeah. But when I think about the things that I've seen over the past couple of years, and I have to stretch that phrase quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. The last 20 years?
Yeah, no, I'm going to say like the last six or something.
Okay.
Like as long as we've been doing this podcast and a little more. When I think about the things that I've seen that I've found
back
truly inventive
episode one.
Or exciting, I think almost every single one was a manga adaptation because somebody had an idea and all they needed was the right kind of ink and the right kind of paper. And they put it down, and they put it submissions, and there's hundreds and thousands of submissions that go into these big manga magazines every year.
Yeah, it's a different market
Different market, totally different market, and a lot of the time, in order to make sure that your thing gets another week of circulation, it's nice to have an idea.
Yeah,
anime is produced all at once, so if you don't have any ideas, but it's comfortable, it's cute, it's got the right.
It just needs to be marketable. Yeah, it doesn't need to be interesting.
Right. Whereas to hook readers week to week, one of the best ways to do it is to get them to go, what is going to happen next?
Yeah. This is the most insane premise I've ever heard of.
Or to get somebody to really care about a character, which is hard to do in one chapter, but some people can do it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah,
manga's a whole nother beast, but it does produce interesting stories because the necessities of that medium, I guess.
One of the biggest hits of the past couple of years that totally shits the bed in the back half, but that's not really the point, is Promised Neverland, which was a huge, huge thing with the first season. People really liked it. It caught on super huge. People really connected with the story about a bunch of people realizing that the society was built to turn them into mulch. It didn't stick the landing, but this is another case of like, this is a manga first. This is a thriller manga that has like, but if it was designed as an anime first, then the entire series might take place inside that or that like orphanage that is the setting. Mm-hmm. Because like, if you're drawing it, you can be like, okay, I'm going to draw, you know, this new place that my characters go to. But if somebody from the top down is like, we're making this an anime, you're like, well, it's economical to have one location and to stick with it. Or it's, you know, like if our scene...
One or a few.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, we don't want these characters to like age too much over the course of the series because we want to keep using the models. And it's quicker to make the series if we do things in this way. The production limitations start to enforce themselves upon the medium you're using to tell the story.
Yeah, it's I touched on this earlier, but like the thing with anime originals is that it really does have, it's almost a loss leader. It's almost we're an established studio and we can afford to make this, which a lot of studios cannot afford to make any of the shows that they're making.
Yeah.
But they can't afford to take a risk. So like, you know, like something like someone like Trigger making an original anime is because they have the name recognition where people go, I loved X show or Y show. I'm going to watch their next thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's
what was the last original thing they did?
Cyberpunk is based on a game, I guess.
Yeah, that's what
But the story is not based on the game.
That's true.
But yeah, I guess Promare probably. That was.
Oh yeah, that wasn't so long.
It was a couple years ago. Yeah.
Okay, Promare is a great example.
That's 2020.
Yeah, almost every series they've done has been an original series. They did a couple adaptations early on.
Yeah, I was just thinking of it because I know that their last two.
Star Wars and they've done Cyberpunk.
Yeah, they've done some crossover stuff.
Delicious and Dungeon, which is happening right now.
Yeah, that's an adaptation.
True. Yeah, that's what I mean. You're right. They can only afford to do that because they have a brand that is the studio.
Yeah, and to be fair, they're piggybacking off of Gainax, which also did the same
thing. Which is also
a
brand that is the
studio. And then blew up because of
Embezzlement
and all that.
Those guys were doing a ton of tax fraud.
Yeah.
It turns out you can't run a studio entirely out on tax fraud. But damn, did they sure try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's still some other stuff. Like, you get new Gundam shows, which are original because they exist to sell toys, which is or model kits, which is a completely different thing. The monetization is flipped where it's not. They're promoting things that come after instead of promoting a source material.
And if we're talking about cynicism, in recent years, they found a lot of success with the Gundam Build Fighters series, which is all about building models in the Gundam.
That's the Ouroboros.
You have to make the whole thing.
Right, right. We can just build the toy commercial into the show. Like, what if we did that? But that is kind of coasting off the momentum of the Big Bang of 0079, which we talked about with Dom. And
check out our Gundam episode.
Some Gundam shows are like that. Some Gundam shows have the seasonal slop stink on them.
Yeah,
I think that which is weird because they definitely don't have to do that. Bandai Sunrise
can afford
to make an anime that looks good.
Yeah,
yeah, they can afford to wait a couple seasons to release something because people are just going to keep buying the model kits. They have their own self-sustaining community in the model kits.
Right.
Yeah.
But that we even have to bring that up, right?
The original anime space is really weird, and it's hard to get those kinds of things made, first off. But also there's usually some sort of scheme. Like most of the most popular original anime franchises are because someone duped someone else with money to let them make it.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Sunrise, there is the famous story about Cowboy Bebop where they're as long as there are spaceships, you can do whatever you want, Watanabe. Mm-hmm. And he made an iconic show that everyone likes.
Oh yeah,
that is anime original, as you were saying.
Yeah,
and I don't know
of
how
course,
Wolf's Rain got made.
Neon Genesis Evangelion,
what
of course.
Selling?
Didn't that director have have clout beforehand?
I actually haven't looked into it that much, but there's not really any.
Merch that guy did something else first. I'm going to look that up, but not right now because it's not important.
Bones.
Yeah, I want to. Maybe close out this segment
I think
a little bit.
I think we got out a lot of the... We didn't really... I thought we were going to end up kind of trying to list the signifiers, but we more talked about the root causes. Like, why does something end up looking like this?
Yeah, I think it's just... Like, anime as a medium is so interesting to me because it is, it's unlike any other type of media I've ever seen. And it's like a decades-long echo chamber of repeating the same tropes and ideas over and over again, and originality is really hard to make happen, and then when it does happen and it breaks out, it is like this enormous, incredible thing. It, like, the outliers make up for all the nonsense in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you guys know about the landscape of seasonal anime in the 80s and 90s, because
I think that might be beyond the scope of this conversation.
Yes,
I know.
Seasonal anime really didn't exist in its current form until I say after Evangelion, but I don't want to say it's because of Evangelion.
Yeah, I think it's just that's a good marker. It's
the
millennium.
It's a denotation.
The millennium turning over.
A lot of the early TV series as we know them in the 80s and 90s were. Either OVAs that you bought,
that's what I'm
from
I'm
a catalog,
that,
and you got VHS tapes.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much the downfall of OVAs,
and
influenced
then
the rise.
There was
of
still TV
anime.
Animation, but a lot of it was long running kids show stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Doraemon or Dragon Ball or any of those that were just serialized and ran on TV in the mornings. A lot of the anime that you talk about nowadays is all like
still doesn't need to have a slot. It doesn't need to have a time slot.
I think they still air it on TV, but all the time slots are like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Because only absolute psychopaths watch it. It's not a marketable thing for the broad audiences.
That's right. Welcome to the NHK is real.
It's not really treated that way, and it is increasingly mainstream, the kinds of anime that we're talking about, but it is still not like watching a cartoon in the United States marketed at children or one over there that's marketed for children. It's weird. I've got thoughts. I will definitely, some of this is going to bleed over into the main segment.
And
I have
this
more
topic
more
will come up again for sure. Cause we all have our own kind of different thoughts on this and what we want out of anime. But the main thing that all of us want is that we would like something to be good. We would like it to look nice.
Yeah,
we would like it to have an idea.
I do want to say that there definitely is a lot of cynicism coming from this room, but it does come from a place of appreciation and wanting the medium to be better, at least for me.
We all have favorites, and we even have favorites of stuff that came out in the past couple of years.
Wow.
Seb brought up Promare. And I don't think anyone's going to complain about Promare, right?
Like, no, it's good.
Like, we all had a good time with that.
Yeah.
And granted, that was a big money project. It's really expensive, something they can only do because of their clout.
And they continue to make merch and weird fucking merch. They've got like shampoo and conditioner coming out.
That's cool.
They have...
Does it make your hair stand up like Gallows or what?
See, that just makes me think about the fucking Batman 89 again. That loops me all the way back to my brain.
I'm being cynical about Promare, even though I like it. It is coasting on decades of laurels from... Gainax.
Oh, for sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Very.
I mean, like
explicitly doing
they
Gurren
evoke,
Lagann.
Yeah,
thing.
They evoke the Gurren Lagann art style intentionally. For
Trigger
sure.
Gainax has always been very self-serving.
They've been doing that since fucking Daikon 4.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, not important.
Right.
Well, we're going to talk about Black Fox
after this.
Wow.
Brief break.
You're that ninja.
I've been waiting for you, Snake.
Who are you?
Neither enemy nor friend. I am back from a world where such words are meaningless. I've removed all obstacles. Now you and I will battle to the death.
Welcome back, everyone, to Please Don't Listen to This. Your life depends on it. This is the show where we do something different every week, and this week we are doing Black Fox. I was going to read the email that Trey sent us about why he chose this movie, but I don't want to mention Honkai Star Rail's name again, so I'm just going to skip it.
Well, we're going to bleep that.
I don't know that he said anything specific about it anyway.
He did not.
Put the bleep in there, please.
It doesn't really illustrate... what this is about. I had saw the title art for this, and I'd had it on my my Letterboxd watch list.
The Kitsune mask.
And I didn't have a really defined idea of what this movie was going to
be. I did not know what this was until I hit play.
And after watching it, I'm still not 100% sure that I have a defined idea of what this is. But this is really easy to summarize. It is so easy to summarize because... not a lot happens in this film.
Wow.
This is a 2019 anime movie about a...
Studio 4C?
Studio 4C. That's
no,
is that
three
right?
Hertz.
Oh, 3 what? Hertz.
Studio
Damn.
Three
All
hertz.
Right. I was close.
I would hope that Studio 4C would put out some better animation in this show.
I had the wrong one.
Yeah.
Well, they thought this was going to air on TV. No, they didn't actually. I'm just making that up. But
it might have been a TV movie. I don't know. It definitely doesn't look like this a
screams,
film. Theatrical.
This screams ONA to me, original net animation. But ooh, I don't know. That is... I assume this released on like streaming, not actually in theaters.
So do you want to fact check that for us?
I'll fact check. I'll Snopes it.
But this is a an anime film that kind of begins with a very like the most interesting scene in the entire thing, almost like where they are showing you a young girl who's like probably like 7 or 8, like being chased by a masked ninja figure through a house and into an attic.
Tengu-esque.
Yes.
It first released on October 4th, 2019 on Crunchyroll.
Yep.
Oh,
O-N-A, pal.
I should have known you were going to clock that immediately. So
didn't look like this was in theaters to
me. Yeah, exactly. So we see her, like, you know, being chased, being attacked, being...
Oh, it did premiere in Japanese theaters on October 5th.
Wow, we got a little bit of both.
I'm out of touch.
So we see a good ninja action scene, like a scene that could be in another kind
they
of shinobi anime movie sort of thing. And
they have the misdirect that the little girl's hiding, and then she turns out she can like parry sword swings and stuff.
Yeah, like she acts like she can't defend herself until she's discovered, and then she, you know, parries the sword swings and kicks the bomb out. She's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I thought they were smoke bombs," which
blows
is cute.
The hole in the roof. Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, this is her house, and this is
they're
just her grandpa.
Hide and seek.
Yeah. And this is the scene where she's like, you know, you're the last in the line of our ninja clan family. Mm-hmm. They're all off screen.
Our clan of assassins.
Dead. Yeah. Exactly. Like our clan of nondescript assassins who will never be shown assassinating somebody.
No.
And then we meet the second generation, which is her dad. Then we meet the second generation in the family. We meet the her dad.
Yeah. Not only are they a clan of ninjas, they also are science.
Yes.
But that's the dad is science.
Yeah. Yeah. Dad is science in defiance of his father, who is a traditional ninja.
And then they do like the I think it's the title sequence pan up, but they do like a dramatic pan up that it's like, oh, this isn't ninja times, this is current times or future times.
Because when
she's already wearing modern clothes.
No, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I think that worked on me. I wasn't really considering that she was wearing
real
clothes.
I thought that this was actually going to be like a cool ninja.
I thought it might have been more period than it ended up. Yeah. I think that it's kind of posed as a reveal, I think. Uh-huh. But
We are kind of brought into this science ninja world with the introduction of the robot pals. And he's like, I love my robot pals. And my instant thoughts on this, I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about because Emily didn't, but the Boston Dynamics robots
of
that
course.
We have in our real world.
Yeah.
The fucking
the ones
robot
that shoot
dog.
Protesters?
Well, not they didn't start out that way. Boston Dynamics was like, look at the advancements in robotics we're making. We're doing stuff that no other engineering field
kick
is
this
making.
Over.
You can't kick this over. Look, like it's like demonstrating it holding packages. Like, look, this guy can deliver a package. You push him over, he can pick it back up. This
centaur-shaped robot.
This guy can do manual labor. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if we had a robot to do manual labor?
Wouldn't it be great if he held a gun and shot insurgents?
So then, of course, the most lucrative contract for a robot is always going to be the military or the police because they have the most money in America.
Wow. We love it.
So now we see those fucking stupid ass Boston Dynamics shits in the hands of the police. Which, by the way, if you're ever in a situation where you need to get around one of those things, it has the hatch on the belly that looks like a Game Boy battery pack. You slide that shit out, and
The double A's out.
It is almost exactly like that.
Huh.
So
don't you just say the paradox from Portal 2 and they shut down?
It doesn't have yours.
Oh, okay.
Shit.
This statement is false. Oh yeah, the kill phrase. That's good.
Putin machine. Flatlander.
I am not a machine.
But
check out Deus Ex.
Yes,
from the year 2000.
Uh huh. But we see the robot dog. We see the robot flying squirrel. We see the robot bird of prey, all together. Her dad's like magnum opus. Like this is the kind of thing he was really working.
Kind of like his pet project. Yeah,
that's cute. All right, I'll give you credit for that one. But One must wonder, truly, outside of being birthday gifts to his daughter, what they were originally going to be used for.
They weren't going to be used for weapons.
He says very specifically,
not weapons,
no
they're
weapons.
Friends.
They're not
friends.
Weapons. And
it's for when all the real hawks go extinct.
It's
like Blade Runner. Yeah.
Jeez.
All right. So I think you're going to get to it when we're talking through this.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I clocked like right away that I thought was super funny, this is like such a fucking trope. I was like cackling. Mm-hmm. But he picks up an old photograph and there is the most clearly evil man on the planet. And then there's another guy who is obscured by like a glint, like a reflection. And
I'm like, oh. Old buddy Magneto.
Yeah. It is like literally, I wonder how my friends are doing from college.
Rika is like, or she goes, are those friends of yours? And he's like, yeah, you could say
a long
that.
Time ago.
And then maybe ago. 5 minutes later, one of them is shooting him to death.
Yeah.
It's really like, funny.
Once we go through it, so we have her meet the animal friends. And we go through a time skip, and she's on her way home to show her dad her college exam results. And it's also her birthday, I think.
Yes.
She's turning 16. And she gets home, and her dad and her grandpa have been, like, shot up. So she goes into the secret lab and finds them, and they're still alive. And then these guys in,
alive
like,
for too long, maybe.
Yeah. So these guys in, like, body armor come in. And then one of dad's friends comes in. And they basically, like, so they release the dad releases the... whatchamacallit, the animals,
mm-hmm.
Who then basically save Rika. Dad and Grandpa die. And then there's this other girl there who is like doing telekinetic shit.
Mewtwo.
Mewtwo is there. Her name is Mia.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad you remembered.
So Rika escapes the eagle whose name is Kasumi, and I don't know why I remember all their names.
Wow. It's because you bought the toys, right?
I'm impressed.
It's because I read the subtitles.
That wasn't enough for me.
Yeah.
I was reading the subtitles.
I remember all their names. I don't remember the flying squirrel's name, but it's Kasumi is the eagle, and the dog is Oboro. The dad's name is Alan.
A very good master.
Anyway, so she escapes.
Uh-huh.
And then we skip to 6 months later, and she's working as like a private detective assistant for some guy.
Yeah, she's doing a Peter Parker job. Yeah.
And they can't show her. Usually when they like to show private detectives and stuff, the shorthand to be like, this is a stupid job, is you show them catching someone's cheating husband, right?
Yes.
That
is the thing.
All that private investigators
that
do.
That is all they do. That is like what that job is. It is snooping through people's trash and catching their cheating husbands. And you can't show her doing that because that's not this is a little too sanitized, right?
Yeah, she
like there is blood
instead.
In this, but it is very much in the implied way.
She tries to make an excuse that that's what she's doing at one point, but what we actually see her doing is catching a cat.
Yeah.
And
what
so,
was the cat's name, Seb? Do you remember?
Sugar.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I thought I was gonna get you on that one.
Because she says it like 50 million
Sugar
times.
Sugar-chan.
Yeah. So she's also at the same time trying to investigate the people who murdered her grandpa.
She's on a revenge
and her dad.
Journey.
Yeah, she's on a revenge journey. And so she then meets Mia and becomes friends with her over chess. Doesn't know she's the girl who
they
murdered
play chess
her
through
family.
The fence of the facility that she's spying on.
The evil military organization, paramilitary organization that killed her dad. I gotta say, great OPSEC on these guys that you don't usually see in evil organizations of this type. No logos on the SWAT team stuff.
Yeah.
Really inspired
you
use
be able
of restraint.
To, you have to be able to deny.
Yes.
They
I
come
like
compartmentalized too. Like she catches a guy and she nearly murders him. Right? And
he's like, I'm in the accounts receivable department. Like I don't do anything. I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, I just saw data. I don't know where it came from. Like what rate? I have no idea. Like he literally has no idea.
I just saw the murder data. I didn't get it.
Yeah. Exactly. Because like realistically, like what is that guy going to be able to tell you? He can't tell you shit.
He lives in Dave City. It's expensive. He has to make ends.
Brad Town.
Brad Town.
It's Brad City. But Brad is the name of the evil president of the company.
And the guy who looks like Giovanni, not the guy who acts like Giovanni.
Yeah. And he,
I mean, I guess.
At the end of the movie, I'm skipping forward a little bit, but at the end of the movie, there's like a bunch of damage to the city, and he goes, oh yeah, we'll pay all the bills and stuff.
This will make us stronger.
For Brad City. As a city. Because I'm Brad.
Mm-hmm. it's like there should be hearings, but it's like, no.
The president never speaks. This is shocking.
Yeah. They cover that shit up way too easily.
Wow.
But so real quick run through. She
we're almost through the whole plot of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, really
that's what
that
I was saying.
Left.
This is like I try to when we do stuff like this, I tend to cut Seb off or like try to do a really truncated plot reading. But there's so little to say when it comes to describing the plot of this movie. It's not very many sentences. Like even talking about every scene, we're gonna get through this quick.
Yeah. So basically, she goes through all the shit to discover, like, whatever. And eventually it gets to the point where she, this middle part actually did wash over me
a little bit.
So she meets Mia. She gets into the facility.
They have a fight.
They have a fight.
She realizes that Mewtwo is actually her friend who plays chess.
Yeah, and then she's mad about it.
And then
the dad
go back to her place.
Yeah, the dad's name is Lauren. And he's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. I really hate how they depicted his like psychosis or whatever.
Oh yeah,
because
he's got the
really
little grin.
Mad.
He's got the cute little grin.
He's in the eyes that go wall-eyed. So he's like really pissed off that her dad was like the star scientist.
Yeah,
because he was researching animal.
It's Walter White's backstory.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
From Breaking Bad.
So he's like really jealous that her dad was making the animal drones and the AI and stuff, and they paid attention to him, and they didn't want anything to do with him torturing his daughter who has innate. Like psychic
it
powers.
It seems like he has them too, I guess.
Well,
they don't really talk about
them. Gets them for himself. He like steals or tech.
He sucks up all the electricity.
Yeah.
He's like, what if Mewtwo was a girl and I was her dad?
Sold. Yeah. Sold. So where can I buy the Blu-ray?
But he just like, there's no subtlety to his psychosis. He's just like, Isuragi, which is the
trigger
name.
Word.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, it's always him. Like he has no subtlety whatsoever. Mm-hmm. There's no buildup. There's
bizarre.
No nothing. I really don't like
how
they dealt with him.
He wants recognition. Like he's like, yeah, he was working on this cool.
He's already
like,
working with the guy who owns the town,
right?
Yeah,
and
they could have made him more sinister and more manipulative and more gaslighting, but they don't.
You know, if we're getting at the root of this guy's motivation, this character who does not matter. Like even though he's the main villain, he is not really that important here. If we're going to get to the root of this guy's motivation, this guy is he's an egomaniac who's mad that the rest of the world doesn't think he's as cool as everyone, as he thinks he should be. He wants that recognition. But the guy that he's so mad at is also not a public figure. Like he's making he's doing the big project. He's probably making like big money or whatever.
He's not famous.
He's not giving big speeches.
I mean, we don't
speeches.
Really see it. We don't really get that.
He doesn't have a fucking name on the robot dog, right? Like it's not like they're.
It's
you
not
know,
his town.
It's not Isaragi Tech or whatever. Like who give a shit? Like obviously this guy has a psychosis that's totally separate from reality. Mm-hmm. But
it's like Dr. Venture and the Monarch went to college together.
Super crazy no way school.
Yeah, it's pretty much like that.
Which is also just stolen, intentionally so, in Venture Brothers. It's stolen from Fantastic Four of Dr. Doom and the Thing and Mr. Fantastic all being in the same college.
Yeah. Mm. The origin story is pretty much that.
Yeah. But like in this one, like they could have elaborated more on what exactly, instead of doing that whole like, oh, I'm growing up and I'm a little girl and playing with my grandpa. Like that took.
Sorry. Seb's hand motion for I'm a little girl is very funny. Like you're on a roller coaster.
Yeah. But like that was way too long. What was that, like 12 minutes of the movie?
Yeah, this movie is barely 90 minutes, And I think a lot of it is spent on the setup. You don't even really get to action until halfway through.
I would rather they have set up the background of the scientists so that we know why this guy is crazy.
There's like two time skips in the first 10 minutes of this movie.
Yeah. Unnecessary.
Yeah. But
they faked me out several times for what this film could be about, which maybe is too confusing. Yeah. I don't know.
But anyway,
because what they landed on was not that well thought out, perhaps.
Anyway, so Dad like blows up the lab, and
Mewtwo goes home with her.
Mewtwo goes home with Rika.
Her trad wife makes dinner.
Kill her because Rika tries to kill her because now she's mad at her for being on the bad guy side.
Grandpa says you can't kill.
Yeah, no. Grandpa says you should kill.
Oh fuck! Why does she
dog
stop?
Dog says don't kill. Oh, that's right. And she just can't do it because she made a friend. Mm-hmm. So she brings her back to her apartment with her trad wife, Melissa.
Trad wife is kind of a chuddy word. I don't mean to say that, but it is funny in this context.
Yeah. She is very domestic.
It's
she's
really...
Like,
it's
you get all the rent, so I should make all the food.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
And this, of course, leads to a thing that, you know, one of the pieces of slop that we talked about being rearranged. This is an anime cooking scene, which there are a couple in this film.
They're both mad at each other, but they eat the food and they happy again.
Yes.
Yeah, they happy.
And they go, eh?
They of how out hot eat the food.
Yeah. There's a shot of the black of Melissa's head, and the way her hair it falls looks like a ball sack.
Wow, I didn't clock this. That's funny. The one, like, stock anime gag that I did like in that scene was that, like, the place where she's doing her chopping is like impossibly far away from the stove. Mm-hmm. So she keeps running back and forth and
then she's got something in the microwave and it's like so much.
Yeah.
That's how I feel when I'm trying to cook anything.
Yeah. It's relatable, but it is like stock anime airhead trope, but also like we're supposed to believe that she's good at cooking, but it seems like she's very scatterbrained. I don't know.
Like it seems like the result was good, but like the process was like chaotic.
I wouldn't trust her to not like get me sick.
Yeah, but, like she did. I definitely would cutting a carrot, but
like okay, that's another super transparent thing where they're like so obviously laying the groundwork for the end of her being like a robot girl.
Oh yeah.
Thing. I didn't actually catch that then. So at the beginning of the film,
this is like an economy of characters. They don't allow anyone to be.
No one else exists in the world, Nick.
So at the beginning
weird,
of the film,
don't like.
There's another secret like lab area where Rika goes down. That's under her dad's grave somehow. Like he planned to be.
It's
dead.
The family plot. It's the mausoleum.
I guess so. He planned to be dead. And he goes down, she goes down there and there is a pod in the back that says
number zero.
Yeah. It's like AMD 00. And I was like, well, whatever that is. And I'm looking for that for the entire film.
Yeah.
And
I
thought it wouldn't be Mia or I thought it would be Rika herself, but it ended up being Melissa.
Yeah.
They reveal that.
I definitely thought when she gets the like super suit, I figured she was going to go back there because they so clearly set that up.
Yeah.
But
they didn't really do that.
She didn't.
It doesn't matter.
But yeah, so they heal Mia's wounds. They become, or they get to know each other. They understand each other. Mia calls her dad because still trusts him.
It's the classic like abused child thing of dad is going to turn himself in. He's going to be good.
They didn't write that.
No, yeah. I mean, they're snapping it all to grid. It is the anime paint my number trope stuff. It is
definitely.
It is like I am like this is the traumatized kid with the evil dad, and we need to do those plot beats.
Yeah. So he turns himself into a psychic warrior somehow.
He sucks up all the electricity.
Yeah. He sits underneath a telephone pole and does it.
This is.
He slurps it up like it's spaghetti. He's got a fork and he spins the power lines.
I know you guys have an opinion on this. So this is one of the things that I feel like is super indicative of the seasonal slop style is a special effect that has no relation distant or close to drawing. Like
are we talking about the robot dog thing?
I am talking about the lightning.
Oh,
it's not like that in every scene. Sometimes it is actually drawn into the scene. But when the lightning is first appearing and he's like coalescing it is very much like we animated the character.
The After Effects lightning.
Yeah, and then Adobe After Effects the lightning on top of it.
It's all one layer in front of the drawing.
So much of these like seasonal anime things that when the characters have powers or magic, they are not drawn. There is no image of it. It is like a...
It's the Photoshop spray paint.
It is a glowing circle or a glowing ray that looks like total dog shit. Does not look like it came in the world at all.
This is how they're able to cut down so much on a budget. Like, it costs less to make an anime now than it did in the 90s or the 80s because you have fucking After Effects. You don't have to draw half the shit you're putting in there.
It looks so bad.
Yeah. It's like...
It looks so fucking bad.
It's like how in movies where you'll recognize like library sound effects, except it's way worse and way more jarring.
Yeah.
Like you'll hear the Wilhelm scream in a movie and you'll be like, ah, ha, ha, that's great.
Or like, occasionally we'll joke about like, hey, that movie or that video game or that TV show or whatever had the box breaking sound effects. That's the same library sound effect that they used in Deus Ex 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But when you, like break the, when you break a box or you do footsteps on cobblestones or whatever, in real life those things often sound quite similar to each other. So even if you do recognize it, it is not that weird. But when you're watching a show or a movie that is drawings, that is all drawings, and you're looking at these drawings and you're taking in the information on top of them, then a stupid looking CG effect it appears on top of them. It is, and it is meant, you know, in some ways you could say like, oh, it is meant to show the otherness of these powers, right? Like in some anime,
it breaks the medium itself,
in
Nick.
In some ways, it's like, in some anime, you're like, oh, okay, this person is doing magic. And when they do magic, it's the blue glow that appears on screen and it lights the characters up in a certain way. But it still looks like a fucking shitty After Effects.
Shoutouts to Mob Psycho 100, some of the best animation.
Oh,
on weird effects.
Yeah, yeah, they do a great job there with a mix of both. They do they do the post stuff and they do, okay, the power is a drawing that is happening in the world of the show.
Yeah.
But this stuff, that drives me totally insane. And it makes me so bored watching it. It totally limits what you can do with these things.
The 80s era of special effects in anime really was the peak. Where you would have to draw where every ray of light went, which is a fucking pain in the ass and expensive.
Oh, yeah.
But it was cool because you would direct every angle of it.
One of the reasons that people love the way explosions looked in old anime is because...
Like Thundercats, like things that were worked on by Japanese studios.
Or like even like totally like disposable dog shit like the Pokemon anime, right? Has some really special explosions in it. Because
they had an explosion guy
his job to who would draw that every time when Team Rocket is blasting off again. They are really drawing it.
Hideaki Anno is famous for being the he's the explosion guy. If you go watch like the Daikon 4 animation, he did all of the explosions in that, and it's so cool. It's like wow, it looks great.
Dad is like, yeah, I'll come get you, and we'll go turn ourselves in. That's fine. And then.
Just tell me where you are.
Yeah. Yep. So he sends a giant cat robot.
Yeah.
To
well,
blow
we need
up
to bring a. He sends a CG effect over. Yeah.
He sends a CG effect over, which somehow that one looked slightly less bad than the vehicles.
I mean, and this is another thing that I probably should have talked about in the first segment, but a lot of the times, like all that, like that stuff is just outsourced to another studio. It's we already have the model of the tank dog. And we're just going to do all the animation for it, and you just put it on top of your drawings.
Yep. And I don't even hate this necessarily, right? Like, I don't, as a base choice, that something like that can work.
Yeah, there's a reason it doesn't feel cohesive or incorporated in, because it is a different studio that just got the notes of what the scene's supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm. I've watched a lot of mecha slop, and sometimes when you're just having the 3D models of, like, the mecha fight each other, you can make that stuff work. Because you're occasionally cutting back to a person who is inside the mech, right? Yeah. And that is where you get your 2D animation.
You need
that's
to get their reactions.
Yeah, that's what links you back to the quote-unquote real world of the show.
Otherwise, it is just action figures being thrown together.
Yes. Yeah. And when a drawing jumps on the 3D model, it looks bad.
So they escape this guy, the cat thing, and then they end up going to... the old house.
Yeah, she goes back to the old house and gets a power up.
Yeah, which is one of those very traditional Japanese like
mansion
type of places. So they go there, and the dad attacks again.
Yeah, she gets a power up. She gets a heartfelt message from her grandpa and dad.
Something that she was originally supposed to get on the day they died.
And she got the fancy fox suit.
It is a merging of the two generations of her family. Wow. It is ninja stuff and science stuff.
What? Cyborg ninja?
A cyborg ninja. But I'm cyborg ninja. There are some things I like about this. I think that the jets on the hips is inspired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
a good outfit design. Cool, yeah. She has like a duckbill hat, kind of like the way that the mask works.
Yeah, but
I like that
like
they don't
fox.
Cute her up. They don't mm-hmm. cute up the mask.
It's not still a magical girl outfit,
it's
really.
Still like
she's very cool.
And
they cool her.
Emily was complaining about the hair, but I think the hair is good. I think that stuff that doesn't fit tactically is often very striking design-wise. Mm-hmm. Makes me think of Zero and like Mega Man X stuff,
wow.
who yep. also is a robot with hair who doesn't need it. Yep. I do enjoy this design, but when it comes to what this suit does in action, it's basically the stuff that we've all kind of already seen for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like high-speed versions of the CG effects
yeah,
that were
then
kind of
they do a
getting.
Fight.
Yeah, they
and
do a fight.
That's the end of the movie.
Well, no, they do a fight. She thinks she's defeated him. He's like, okay, I'm so sorry for everything I did. And then he again fakes everybody out and makes Mia evil. Like, he dies and puts his, like, mind control
soul
into
the
collar.
He puts all
the
psychic he took from the electricity into the girl.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she goes crazy.
That's
yeah,
news
this
to me.
Is pretty, yeah, so she goes crazy, and then Rika like undoes the collar, and then they're friends. And then they flash forward to like an epilogue type of thing where they're going after the other guy, the Brad guy.
Brad Bird.
Yeah.
Finally get rid of him.
Yep. Yeah. And Melissa, who has been revealed to us to be AMD 00
yeah.
or whatever.
In about blink if you miss it, truly.
She's wearing her own costume. Like, everybody has their own costume, and she showed
that
up.
Was such a, like, setting up for the next Avengers movie ass ending, and I was
stupid.
I was so,
she's wearing
like,
a fucking Dot Hack costume.
It was really, like, we talked about this a little bit, but this was really screaming, like, we're trying to pitch a series or we're trying to pitch a sequel.
I think they really were, because they made a live-action, weird choice, live-action prequel.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I think, and I sympathize with them because it is, like we've talked about, talked about in the first segment, it is really hard to get a franchise off the ground. It is hard to, like, pitch an original idea like this.
Especially in this environment, as we talked about.
I'll say original in air quotes, because a lot of the stuff we're talking about is pretty well-trodden ground.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I do think, like, it's hard to take a swing like this. And it's, obviously, this didn't really succeed, at least from the fact that I haven't really heard about it, and it came out in 2019.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's tricky. Good that they took the swing, perhaps, but
it doesn't even strike me as much of a swing.
I don't know if their heart was in it. I don't know.
No,
I don't think so. Like, I think the three girls, their character designs could be marketable,
and they're cute.
They're cute, and but also Rika is very cool.
You know what I struggle with, though? I see these characters and I see this, what they set up, and I think to myself, I cannot begin to imagine what adventures they could have, because this world is so empty.
Mm-hmm.
Can I imagine them solving crime?
It's like,
not really.
Because like
that would involve
week,
another
right?
person.
It would just be like,
that would be a new monster every week. They're not drawing a new monster every week.
Well, they have another CG model they could throw in there, probably.
They're not just going to have like another, like, because if you have the whole series and it's the same, like, fucking cat robot or tank or whatever from these guys every week, you're gonna get super bored of it. Like,
I think it would. It's one of those situations where, like, this would be like episode zero. This is like a pilot, and the series uses these characters, but probably has nothing to do with what happened in this movie.
Yeah. So, but as a pilot, this does a really bad job of setting up a series, because it leaves.
It just wants to show you the character designs, and you'd be like,
you
I would buy
do
a figure
that
of that
in a regular pilot.
Yeah.
This stuff could all be revealed to us in the backstory of a character, and
this
probably.
Could have been
in terms of
series.
Economy of time, like, way better.
Would not have watched it if it
was
a
series. I also wouldn't have watched it.
But I think they could have elaborated on a lot of stuff that they just kind of glazed
over. I don't know if this would have been good if this was 10 episodes.
I think
they
could make a more of a tension between, like, Rika and Mia's, like,
becoming
friends, and then they find out.
I see where you're coming from, Seb.
But this is all speculation, right?
Yeah, exactly. I am speculating. I'm saying it could be a lot better. It has some nuggets of potential.
I don't think it does. I think that's all stuff you're putting onto it.
I don't know. I'm trying not to, like...
We can put onto it.
Yeah, we can put on... Like, I don't think it's, like, the worst thing ever.
No, definitely not.
And I think because of that, there are some things that could be improved upon and pulled out of this.
Yeah, it's just there are not many ideas here.
No, there aren't many new ideas.
That is the point that I was trying to make.
I don't know who this is for. Like, which type of anime viewer is this for? Is it for the person who likes shonen? Is it for the person who likes
snap to a genre as cleanly as some other stuff.
Yeah, I think young girls like cool ninjas too. I think that could definitely be a thing, like a girls show that still has action in it.
But somehow I see this more as being a, like, something that guys are into.
Yes, I think that is a fair assumption.
Yeah, I don't think it wants to commit any direction specifically because it's trying to gain an audience. So it's not not making the big choice. It's not saying that this is a dark anime about ninjas. Yeah. It's not saying that this isn't a cutesy anime about girls.
They might try to toe the line and do both. But one of the things that I wanted to bring up that I forgot about until just now was that Emily and I were watching this movie together, and after I said that the opposing girl whose name you've said 100 times,
Mewtwo?
Mia.
Yeah.
I said that she's like Mewtwo, and Emily said that fits because Rika is dressed like Red, and I'm like,
there you go.
Once she's an adult, she's got that red jacket.
She looks like
Pokemon Special Red,
and she has three animals. Yes, which do battle with her.
It is a not insignificant subconscious influence there kind of thing going on.
Her animal friends don't bring her back to life the first Pokemon movie though.
Also, the animal friends reminded me a lot of Strider, which is not a thing that any child nowadays knows about.
He's got a grapple hook on his arm.
He
right?
No.
Am I thinking of...
You're thinking of Bionic Commando.
Bionic Commando.
You're thinking of another Capcom guy who lived in obscurity. But no, Strider, the futuristic ninja with the long flowing red scarf, and he has a robot panther and a robot eagle. And they
like
are,
Mega Man.
Yeah.
I mean, sort of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, same company, so I guess, you know, they had the idea. They're like, we got to have robot animals. That's how you sell a video game. Mm-hmm. The 80s were a different time. But this this kind of brought out a lot of complicated thoughts.
Yeah, I still have some stuff I kind of want to unpack.
Okay. We have a second. Yeah, please.
All right. So I am a little bit disillusioned with modern anime as it exists.
Yeah.
See the first segment of this episode.
We talked about it a lot.
Specifically, one of the ruts that I've dug myself, or the dugouts that I've put myself into. I'm super into anime film. I have seen a lot of the must see most popular anime movies specifically. So when this came up, I had not heard of it at all. I was like, oh, cool. There's an original anime movie that came out in the last couple of years that I hadn't heard of. And that's not from one of the big directors. Obviously, as we've talked about, this definitely didn't live up to any of those expectations, but it is a cool thing. Original anime film is almost more dead than original anime on TV.
Yeah. What's his name? Who did Bell? And he did all the other
Mamoru Hosoda and Makoto Shinkai are the two big people still doing original film that aren't Studio Ghibli.
The same story every single time.
Yeah, both of them pretty much do the same thing.
Yeah. Shinkai, I guess as well.
Shinkai is about lovers, and Hosoda is about the internet or animals
and growing up. But those are all the same story somehow. one of the interesting things about that, I actually do think that both there is a place for both of them, but they shouldn't be the only stories. They shouldn't be the only game it's
on. I agree. I think it is have found something to enjoy in their work, more so Hosoda. I don't really like Shinkai very much, but there is good stuff in there, and I'm glad that they are allowed to continue making movies. But that space basically doesn't exist for anyone else, and it's weird. Original anime film was ruled by Miyazaki and Ghibli for so long.
Briefly had Satoshi Kon, but he tragically passed. So.
And there's just there's not much air left in that room, really. It's kind of tragic, especially with how much franchise film has taken off.
The what was it? Demon Slayer film made it to charts in America.
Anime film as it exists now is basically only for franchises. Which sucks.
Detective Conan has like 20 something of them.
Yeah, it used to just be the Shonen movies. It used to just be Dragon Ball and One Piece, and they never had any connection to the story, and it didn't matter.
Had 4 movies.
Yeah, they were all just filler. It was like something to put into the box office.
Now you get shit like the Haikyuu movie that is like integral to understanding.
Right, now they actually adapt manga or like story in the films, which
Jujutsu Kaisen's flashback arc is a movie.
It is. Probably a better way to do things, but it really has exacerbated a problem which has existed for like decades now. Now it is just, if an anime movie comes out, it is part of a franchise.
That sucks.
or it's Miyazaki, or it's Shinkai, or it's one of those guys.
Those guys are going to die off. You can't have them forever. And then what? And then what, I ask. 2 years ago, a movie came out, an anime film came out that I actually quite liked, which was from first-time directors. And it was Pompo the Cinephile. It did not set the world on fire, but I would like to shout it out as an example of something that is not connected to a franchise, has an original idea, and was interesting.
I also want to shout out Masaaki Yuasa, of course. His latest film came out a couple of years ago, Inuo. I still haven't seen, but he's was a TV director, made his own studio, and has made a handful of movies, but... also, Night is Short, Walk on Girl. That's an adaptation. But
love that fucking movie.
He's had a couple misses lately.
You know, if you wanted to do the anime thing, I haven't seen Tatami Galaxy still.
It's a good one.
If you ever wanted to do that for the show, I think it might be a good one.
Yeah.
You haven't seen Tatami Galaxy, have you? No.
It's dense.
Sounds good to me.
But yeah, I specifically like have a lot of love in my heart for like original anime film from people who aren't
the same four guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the same four franchises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this was specifically a little bit heartbreaking for me.
Yeah. Think and I have been, a few years ago, we went through a few, like, older things.
Oh, man. There's so much good old anime
80s,
shit.
90s. Yeah. And they were...
If you're listening and you like anime, don't watch anything that's new. Just go watch all the old shit.
Yeah.
That is a legitimately good recommendation.
There are, 40 years of good anime you can go check out.
Project Eiko, the movie, is, like... incredible.
Yeah.
It's just a feast for your eyes.
I don't want to sound like an old head, but I think the best anime is in the past.
we sorted this out already. We talked about it 40 minutes ago or something. It's because they draw the explosions. This is not rocket science, folks. They don't have to draw the explosions anymore, and the anime is worse.
There are and will continue to be good anime, but I think... if you're a fan of this medium at all, I think you owe it to yourself to go backwards. Mm-hmm. Please.
Mm-hmm. It is worth checking out the roots of whatever medium you like, for sure. Mm-hmm. Don't shy away from things just because they are old.
Yeah, and it is hack to say, X hobby, X media is bad now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I feel that way about a lot of the hobbies that I enjoy.
Yes. I think each area... of media kind of goes through like peaks and lulls and stuff like that. And
right, but anime has been subjected to Habsburg breeding practices for a while.
Yeah.
That's.
I mean, it could eventually get out of it. Eventually. Yes. But.
Yeah, I feel like this might be more negative than I... This is an episode that is helping me unpack a lot of feelings I've had for a while.
This is bringing out feelings that we have. This is not all about Black Fox, saying this.
No, not really.
This isn't Black Fox's fault. It's just getting us thinking about other things about...
And this definitely isn't our final word on anime, something that... I think this is a good catalyst for talking about a lot of our opinions generally on how this stuff goes.
Any anime episode, any anime, anything, always reminds me that I am going to do a Paranoia Agent episode sometime soon.
It's a good show.
In the future, I will be doing that.
Shonen Bat.
Only Satoshi-kun thing I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Wow. There's a little guy, he's got a bat, he hits you, and your life gets better.
Whoa. But guess what? It's my episode next week.
What?
Oh!
Last week on our The Crow episode, I read off our next suggestion episode. Which is, of course, the demo of Unicorn Overlord, which I am excited to play when we do get to that.
We're going to be playing a demo. Uh-huh. First time on the show.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing.
It's still
going to
be too long for the show, maybe.
we'll see. He didn't say hit credits on the demo. He just said play it. So we'll that's coming up. But Other than that, we are kind of out of suggested topics, and we wouldn't really be in danger of needing them for a little while. We've still got some time. We've still got a buffer period of a few weeks. But I don't want to have one thing in the bank. I want to have a lot of ideas
We're
in the bank.
We're filling the bank?
We're filling the bank. I want to have reserves. Oh. I want to have
You're
stuff
have
to look
forward
to.
Climb the ladder and get the briefcase.
That's right. So, money in the bank.
Yeah,
yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, for my next episode, next week, I want all three of us to go and solicit three distinct podcast ideas from other people. I would
three
like them to all come from different people. That's right.
Wow.
We are going. So there will
That's
be nine new
cubed.
Yeah.
Three cubed
yeah,
suggestions.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't do that math.
I think that this will result in a different spread. There are lots of people who, one, don't listen to the show. Can't blame them. Or two,
I don't listen to the show.
Don't listen to podcasts in general. Who have varied life experiences
yeah.
that crosses all kinds of things that we would never, ever, ever get into.
They don't even know what
they're,
happens.
They're not going to write us an email. They don't even know who. They don't even know what this is like.
They don't
about
have email.
What it's about. They don't have email somehow. So we are going to get those ideas and come back and talk about the process of talking about the show with other people. And
we're getting meta next week.
Yeah, we are getting meta next week. But you know what? It's been a long time coming, and I'm looking forward to it.
Wow.
I think this is going to be an interesting episode. I think it's going to result in conversations with other people, which is my favorite thing to talk about.
2024 is the year of weird episodes. From
yes,
Please Don't Cast,
yes, we
so
are.
Get ready.
We are going to stretch the format and bend it a little bit.
I didn't get a chance to throw my big declaration in on the anniversary episode, but it is the year of weird.
I'm looking forward to it. I've already come up with a couple of weird ideas that I pitched to these guys during the break, I think we're gonna have a good time.
Jigsaw puzzle.
Wow. Look forward to that, listeners.
Look forward to that. It's riveting, I know. We'll see you next week with a lot of new ideas, hopefully.
It's puzzling, actually.
Oh,